abundance here. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you today, we magnify you. You are holy, so holy. Thank you so much for this fellowship today, this time just to be together, Lord. We worship you, we praise you, we honor you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, next slide. We're going to learn now about the process of abandoning. And there's four steps that we believe if you follow, though they are not the only steps that you may find in your life, are steps that will help. Now, before we get to those four steps, I guess the question to ask yourself today is, do you want to be devoured by vultures or to be raised up by eagles? Well, I think that's pretty easy, right? We want to be devoured by vultures. Okay, next slide. I ask this because of this next scripture, Luke 17:33-37, which reads, "Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, whoever loses his life will preserve it." That could be, right there, the mission statement of abandonment. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, whoever loses his life will preserve it. That, if I could sum abandonment up, one great saying of our Lord, it'd be that verse. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. "Where, Lord?" they asked. He replied, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather." 1 Timothy 4:1. Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. There's two voices. There's two ways of abandoning, just as there's two ways of listening. You can abandon your soul from the faith God wants to give you, or you can abandon yourself from the world and gain the faith that God wants to give you. You can lose it all and gain it all. Or you can attempt to gain it all and lose it all. Next slide. Raised up by eagles. Deuteronomy 32:9-11. Can somebody read that? Obviously, we don't want to be eaten by the vultures, which is the symbolism of the world and the demons that Satan focuses against us in the work of righteousness in our lives. So we want to be raised up on the wings of eagles. Who here today, literally, would not love to be raised up by eagles, to fly where they dare, to see things from that perspective? What a different perspective than the one that we're used to. Just in terms of what we can perceive, what we can understand. God wants to raise you up. He wants to heighten your understanding. He wants to give you a new perspective. And for some of you in here today, that's important. If you're an artist, if your life is your life's work is based upon your creativity, then you need new perspectives, because the perspectives you have can get old after a while. If you're a musician and you only know how to play one way, it gets old after a while. If you're a teacher and you teach one style all the time, I'm sure that after a while it has to get old. Things in life get old. But God wants to bring you to a new level with Him where the perspective is fresh. And that's the great thing about abandonment. When you allow yourself to be abandoned for God, He brings you something that comes from outside of yourself. Because you know why things get old and why they become stale? Because you know it's just regurgitation of what's already inside of you. It's nothing new. You know the old saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, we're like little suns running around, and there's nothing new underneath us. We don't have anything inside of us that is not already within us. And so we may try to change. We may try to look at things differently. We may try our best to have a new, fresh perspective on things. But the reality is, if we're doing it from within, if we're relying on what's inside of us already, it's just going to feel like a little more of the same old, same old, same old. So the inspiration has to come from outside. It can't come from within. It has to truly be God-given. And when you are in looking for that abandonment, you're going to notice in the Word that when men and women were really inspired with something new, like Moses being given the Ten Commandments, or Elijah being ministered to do by that small, still voice, or Christ going out into the wilderness to be tempted, all of these things required a sense of abandonment, a sense of aloneness, a sense of contemplation, like you see in that picture there. All of the great moves were prefaced by what you see in those paintings right there. All of the great change in your life, all of the great inspiration that will come in your life, I can promise you will come after that, after the contemplation, after the abandonment. Next slide. Now I want to talk about the process of abandoning. The process of abandoning yourself to be an empty vessel to receive. I'm going to give you 4 points today. And I believe if you hold to these 4 points, that you will find an easier time getting to that sense of abandoning. Because you know what it's like. Go into the chapel. Sit there before the Lord. Don't you have a million things running through your mind? Don't you have a million emotions? Don't you have the things that, sometimes it's not even bad things. Sometimes you're just sitting there and you're thinking about the good things, right? You're thinking about the ways God's blessed you. You're thinking about how you're happy. But literally, abandoning means you have to even let go of the good things. Even the things that you think of fondly, you have to let go. The first step is understanding you are not the source. We are the created, not the creator. We are incapable of creating. And so you got to recite to yourself, I am not the source. When you enter that state of contemplation and meditation, the first thing you should do is you should sit there, quiet yourself, and say, God, I am not the source. It starts to focus your mind into the reality that it's not about you. It gets ego out of the way. It removes the reason, the will, all of these things in our life that drive us and make us human. If you start to say, God, I am not the source. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help, it doesn't come from inside of me. I'm not the source. My help comes from the Lord. Psalm 41:13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, everlasting to everlasting. Amen, amen. Well, you know what the great thing about this psalm is? We think that we're making a proclamation, right? Blessed is God. Praise be to God. From everlasting to everlasting. Amen, amen, right? Isn't that what you think when you read this? You're saying, God, you're blessed from everlasting. You know what? He doesn't need you to say that. Because He is everlasting. That's why it's saying, that's what David was really saying. Blessed be God of Israel from everlasting. From everlasting, which means without time. God is blessed. His very being is the definition of blessing. We don't have to recite that. He is the blessing. We're not the source.
The amen comes when we realize we're not the source. He is limitless, timeless, without condition, simple, from simple to simple. Next slide. The second thing, after you get it through your head, I am not the source, just say that right now, would you? I am not the source. I am not the source. It's liberating. Very good. Repeat that to yourself often. Is you gotta be single-minded, not divided between two masters. Because once you start the process of saying, I'm not the source, then the enemy wants to come in. And he wants to start saying, if you do it this way, maybe if you do it that way, maybe if you pray 10 Our Fathers, a half of a glory be and 4.5 Hail Marys, that's the process, that's the key to success for abandonment. And believe it or not, that in your attempt, in your quest to be spiritual, is the interference that the devil's trying to run in your life. So you can't serve two masters. If you say, I'm not the source, then you're not the source. Don't serve the master of the enemy, who's going to try to make you now a spiritual giant in your own mind. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When you abandon, you can't serve God and mammon. You can only serve God. But remember, you can abandon two different ways. Just like you can abandon for God, you can abandon against God and have darkness in your life. So when you sit down and you're ready to get in that contemplative mind and you say to yourself, I am not the source, and you just say to yourself, I will focus on Christ alone. You sit there and you say, I am not the source. I will focus on Christ alone. You don't have to have a picture of Christ. You don't have to hear his words. You don't have to have necessarily a scripture right in front of you, but you're just abandoning yourself. I will focus on Christ, who is the anointed Messiah of God. That's it. That's it. Next slide. Now comes the difficult one. Letting go of the problems. Do you realize today that every problem in your life is propped up by an external source? Every single one. Name me one problem in your life that is not propped up by something outside of you. Can anybody? You may say to me, okay, well, I've got arthritis in my hand. Well, guess what? You know what that's propped up by? Original sin. That's why our flesh dies and is corruptible. Because of things that happen outside of us. Now, it doesn't make us sinless, but it just begs the point that if there's all this stuff that's outside of us that props up our problems, what control do we really have over it? Can you really control whether or not you're a sinner? Can you? Can you stop yourself and become sinless? All of our life and all of our problems have these external factors that control a part of it. We have part of the control, yes. We make half of the choice ourselves. We have a free will, and yes, we choose to sin. But there's another half of it. There's a half of it that we don't have control over. So even if you were to make the best decisions, have the best free will, best control of yourself, I can tell you today, you're still going to have problems, and you're still not going to be in control of those problems. But you know what the wonderful thing is? That's consoling to me. And you may look at me and think I'm a freak for saying that. But you know what? I think God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us this consolation.
that we could sit here today and say, you know what? I'm not perfect, and it's okay. I'm a sinner, and it's okay, because I'm just not in control of being sinless. Yes, God wants me to act in a Christian way. And yes, He wants me to act with humility, and He wants me to walk in the path of righteousness. But there is a part of being human and the sin nature of human that I'm not in control of. So you want to abandon yourself? You say, I'll focus on Christ alone. You say to yourself, I'm letting go. I'm not in control. Then you come to your problems in your life. Because once you've emptied your mind, once you've focused on Christ, you say, I'm not the source. And you say to yourself, I'm not in control. Then you know what happens. You sit there and you just blot out. And then all of a sudden, oh God, this happened yesterday. That happened the day before. You want to focus. You want to say you're not the source. But all these things come in your life and they revolve around your issues. They revolve around your issues. And still, underneath all of it, you think you have to have some kind of control over your issues. I want to sit here and focus on you, Lord. But I've got a huge boil on my rear end. And if I wouldn't have committed this sin in the 7th or 8th grade, I probably wouldn't have that boil. Because again, you think you're going to have some control over the sin in your life, over the problems in your life. And I'm trying to tell you on God's word today, you're not in complete control of those things. So let it go. So you enter the chapel. You enter your study time, your quiet time, wherever that may be. Your house, a park, the car, wherever. And you're ready to abandon. And you know the environment and the circumstance that you like to be in those moments of abandonment. Each one of you in here now know what you need. You know where you need to go. You know the place you need to be. You know what your wilderness is. But you also know that you can sit there and say, I'm not the source. I can focus on Christ. And then the problems start to bother you in the mind. Physical problems, emotional, spiritual. You have to just literally let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Next slide. Now, this is the last point. We've sat here. We're not the source. We're abandoning ourselves to God. He is the focus, Christ. We've let go of the problems. Now we're in that moment. Right now, just feel that moment. Just everybody be quiet for a second. Just breathe. Let go. Now we're going to learn about the from. Now we're going to learn about the from. My help comes from the Lord. He divided the heavens from the earth. He will deliver me from the enemy. The from. It's a preposition. It means that there's two things. And they're either coming together or they're moving away. It describes a space that nothing exists in between. My help comes from the Lord. I have to begin to understand that it's an external source, right? That's why we say, I am not the source. So here I am. If I say to you today as an example, I'm here, my friend is coming from England to America. What is of interest to me is, what is the from? She's coming from England to America. What is in between England and America? It makes a big difference. If she travels on water, she'll need a boat. If she walks on land, she'll need a vehicle. If she travels in the air, she'll need a plane. The from starts the conversation with God of the gifts that he wants to impart to you to get to the unity with him. Because the from explains, my help comes from the Lord, because as I unite, like we heard said by St. John of the Cross, as we unite, as our soul comes into union with God, the from in between gives us an idea of a gift that he wants to give us. And it's not just the union of us, our soul with him, but sometimes the union of our soul with him requires that things must be removed from our life. If I have anxiety, if I have a demon perplexing me, if I have something rooted in my life that keeps me from that union, then it needs to be removed from my life. And so now the question of the from, the in-between, is how is it going to get moved? How is it going to change? Next slide. Understanding the gifts in the from. This is where we learn total abandonment, the value of total abandonment. Next slide. Revelations 4:5. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. From the throne comes seven spirits of God. The from. I want the help from the Lord. I need one of his spirits, one of his seven spirits. I need to know how to walk down that road and minister to somebody. Then I need to go through the steps. I need to say, Lord, I'm not the source. I need to be focused on Christ. I need to let go of everything else in my life. And I need to say, total abandonment, Lord. Teach me the from. Bring me one of those spirits that will guide me into this work that you want to complete through my life. Next slide. Just skip one. The seven gifts come from an external source and are enumerated in Isaiah 11, 2, and 3. Can somebody read Isaiah 11, 2, and 3?
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding, fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears.
When you find the from, when God gives you the from, when he gives you one of the seven spirits, it will not be according to your senses. It won't be an emotion. It won't be a judgment or a reason of your mind. It won't be based on what you can see, touch, smell, hear, or taste. It will be a spirit of God that comes from the throne room of God. And that is the power of Almighty God. That is the source that changes. That is the source that brings inspiration. That is the source upon which you and I today have desire. We can look at those paintings and say, there is something I desire. Not necessarily just for me, but for my service to God in this world. I want to make a difference. I want my life to be worth something to God. I want the from. I want spirits in the throne room of God to work through my life. St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians of the church, wrote about the seven spirits. Next. And they are the seven gifts that we believe in. There's 12 fruits of the Spirit. You know those, we sing them on Bible school days. But there's seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that are different than the fruits. The fruits are the manifestation of what these seven gifts provide. And so it's wonderful to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. But you can't have the fruits without the seven gifts. There would be no manifestation. There would be no peach without a peach tree. There would be no grape without a vine. There would be no church without Pentecost. You see, you know what started the church? You know why it survived? Because, listen, the church had all the obstacles in the world. There's no reason Christianity should have made it out of the first century. No reason. But what made it make it out was the Holy Spirit. Because he was manifesting things that were supernatural. And you had great philosophers. You had great lines of philosophy. But none of those lines of philosophies, none of those religions, none of them could produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so they were wise. They promoted men and women who sought after the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts. You're not going to get the gifts in your life unless you learn total abandonment. Because these gifts are not under the control of man. These gifts will not be given to people who seek to use them for themselves. These gifts are for the benefit of God's creation and to give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. The gifts. Wisdom. We see God at work in our lives and in the world. The wonders of nature, historical events, the ups and downs of our lives take on deeper meaning. In short, wisdom is like experience. You can't buy it. You can tell me all you want. You know what it's like to be 75 years old. But if you're not 75, you don't know. And here's the great thing about God's wisdom, though. God can give you the wisdom to know. In ourselves, we cannot escape the clutches of experience. We cannot escape the ignorance that comes without it. But with God's wisdom, we can attain to things that we shouldn't be able to. With the wisdom of God in our life, we can understand things that our minds cannot comprehend. Understanding. With the gift of understanding, we comprehend how we need to live as followers of Jesus Christ. A person with understanding is not confused by all the conflicting messages in our culture about the right way to live. The gift of understanding perfects a person's speculative reason and the apprehension of truths. It is the gift whereby self-evident principles are known. In other words, with understanding, God gives you the ability to discern right from wrong. You get it. You understand something inside of you that says, this is right or this is wrong. I have an understanding because the laws that God said would be written in my heart are written in my heart, and I'm attentive to them because of that gift, that spirit that comes from the throne room of God. It's a spirit. It's a measure and a part of the Holy Spirit. This isn't Theology 101. This is the Word of God. These are real spirits that come from the throne room of God that are a measure of His Holy Spirit that He wants to give to you. Counsel, right judgment. How many times do we debate over what's the right thing to do? What's the right judgment? Because it's just not that easy. Listen, if two people are in an argument, my God, most of the time they both believe it's the gospel truth. But yet, they're diabolically opposed to each other, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's people you disagree with, isn't there? And if you're honest with yourself, there's times when you really believed you were right. Correct? Has there ever been time... you really believed you were right. And if you're honest right now, weren't there times when you're so frustrated because you knew the other person believed that they were really right? So what's the right thing? I mean, we want to think it's truth. We need the truth. Okay, you tell me where the truth is. But this spirit,
spirit that comes from Almighty God's spirit can give you counsel and right judgment. Because there is a price that comes with making the wrong choice. Boy, if you are in a role of pastoring for you preachers someday, a role of evangelizing, people will come to you and they'll ask you questions. And they'll say to you, please pray and give me direction. And God will put on your heart a direction for you to walk. But you think it's just easy to say, okay, that's the direction God gave me for the life, and I'm going to tell them. No. In my life, there's been people in the short time that I've pastored that have come to me and say, God, I feel God calling me in the missions. I'll use Hannah and Joe Stager. And they said to me, we feel that, you know, God's calling us. This was a year ago. But Hannah was being offered an amazing job, great benefits, great retirement package. And she came to me and her husband and said, you know, we don't know what to do. And I prayed about it, and the Lord impressed upon me that He wanted them in the mission. That's where their value in His kingdom was. But do you think that was an easy choice? Because what if it doesn't go right for them? What if it bombs? What if they come home and they say to me, what kind of counsel did you give us? That's why you need the right judgment. That's why you need the Spirit of God leading you. Because you'll have to make choices. And they're hard. Because what's hard about them is, you know, at the end of the road, you could be the one that's going to suffer for the choice that was made. And so could other people. Bernie and Olivia are going to go to India. I believe that the Spirit of God has led this moment for them to go. But that's not an easy choice. They're not going to the Taj Mahal in Las Vegas. Or in Ocean City. You understand? These are real choices that really impact people's lives. You can't just say, I'm going to be led by God and make choices frivolously for people's lives. You will be held accountable. And if you don't abandon yourself and get to the from where you're ministered to by God's spirits, then what are you relying on? Yourself? God help us if our decisions for people's lives are made on ourselves. You've got children under your care. Their lives are molded and fashioned in what you teach them and proclaim to them. Is there abandonment in your soul for them? Are you relying on the Spirit of God to lead you? The Spirit of right judgment. Next slide. This leads to the next thing. That with right judgment, there needs to be courage. For the reasons I've just explained to you. You can't make real decisions and be led by God and not have courage. It takes courage to walk this life. Doesn't it? When you've got to make a hard choice and you feel like you're being led by God, it takes courage. When a mother's going to give birth to a baby, she knows it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's right judgment. It's the right thing. God created it. But it takes courage to know what she's going to have to go through. And it's no different in men and women's lives as they walk the spiritual walk. If you don't abandon yourself, get fed by the Spirit of fortitude, of courage. The Spirit, one of the seven spirits that comes from the throne room of God. You will die from fear and discouragement. Knowledge. The gift of knowledge, we understand the meaning of God's revelation, especially as expressed in the life and words of Jesus Christ. A person with knowledge is always learning more about the scriptures and traditions. The gift of knowledge is more than accumulation of facts. We need to have a knowledge of what God wants for us. What's the best example of that? Right here, right now. If you walked your whole life and didn't know that there were seven spirits that came from the throne room of God, if you walked your whole life and didn't understand the process of abandoning yourself to God Almighty, then you wouldn't be available to the other gifts. Knowledge has to start with your willingness. Willingness. You want knowledge? Be willing. Who ever heard of somebody that learned to be a doctor that wasn't willing to go to medical school? Who ever heard of somebody that learned anything that wasn't willing to learn it? You want the knowledge of God? Be willing. Have an attitude of willingness. Period. That's what you can do. Be willing. Say, God, I'm willing. I'm here. I'm willing to be used. Piety, reverence. The gift of reverence. A person with reverence recognizes our total reliance on God. It comes before God with humility and trust and love. It's just trust, reverence. You know, we were in India together, and the Lord did a wonderful miracle. But prior to that miracle, the people were talking and blah blah blah, na 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 na, and we're trying to give the word of God. And you know what? You know what? We had to stop. I stood up and I said, I'm not preaching anymore. And everybody was kind of shocked because I was in another pastor's church. But I knew that that as my soul was being abandoned as a minister, and as God was feeding me from His Spirit, that spirit of piety spoke to me, and it said, "I'm not being respected. Don't do another thing." And I got up and I spoke that. I said, "I'm not going to do another thing until you reverence the presence of Almighty God. Not me, but the presence of His Spirit. I'm done. I will not go any further." That church shut up like that. And a woman's foot, I've told you this story before, grew 5 inches in front of my face and others that witnessed it. You can't have the operation of the Holy Spirit where there is not reverence for Him. He's not some commodity. He's God Almighty. Fear of the Lord. It's not the kind of fear that you're going to be struck down from God. It's not the kind of fear that He's going to pay you with terrible consequences for your sin. It's not the kind of fear that He is going to judge you for the way that you think about other things or don't understand. It's the kind of fear that is based on a love relationship. A child loves its parent. And that fear that it comes, that godly fear that comes from it, allows it just to trust the parent. It's not worried if the parent, when the parent's leading it by the hand, if the parent's going to turn around and hit it, you know, deck them in the face. You know, unless you've got an abusive parent, but that's not the model I'm trying to use here right now. You got a good parent, godly parent, and he's leading a child by the hand, and he's getting direction. That fear is what the child is, the fear of God is what he's holding on to. He's saying, okay, lead me, because I fear you. In a sense, I recognize your omnipotence. And it allows itself to be led. What is not the fear of God is when you try to lean on your own understanding. When you say, this is how I'll be led. This is how I'll understand God. This is how I'll act. That's not the fear of the Lord. That's your fear. Fear of the Lord is just quiet submission to God, knowing that He loves you. Too many distractions. That's what you look like spiritually almost every day of your life. That's what I look like almost every day of my life spiritually. Literally, that is what's going on inside of you. It's insanity. And God is here today to say, look, I don't want that for you. I've got something a lot better. It's not confusing. It's not distracting. It's not fear. It's not worry. It's not doubt. It's none of those things. It's simple. It's abandonment. Next slide. Take out some paper. Please, we're going to do an exercise. In honor of our principal who is here today, we're going to do an exercise. She just told me a story the other day. No one's going to kill me on this one, but Jen was teaching a class with Kylie, was it? You were teaching a class? And Kylie, they were using two words, is that right? What was the first word?
Dark.
Dark and fierce were the words. And she wanted them to come up with a sentence for the words, right? And so Kylie said, write down mommy darts to the bathroom when she has to go pee. I was really gonna kill me for this next one. She write, and then she said, okay, Kylie, well then what do you want, what sentence do you want to make with fear? She goes, mommy is fierce when she pees her pants. So, anyways, don't tell my wife I told you that story, please. Because I've got a feeling there'll be more sentences that we can use fierce if we do. Alright. I want you, and this is a confidential exercise. You're not going to share this with anybody. Nobody's going to see this, okay? Nobody's going to look at this. This will be destroyed. I want to take 5 minutes now. And I want you to start the process of abandonment. I want you to say to yourself, I'm not the source. But you focus on Christ who loves you. I want you to let go. In the process of letting go, I want you to write down the problems of the past that you know haunt you. Initial them for some of you, because I know we'd be here for 3 or 4 days. I want you to write down right now as a problem in your life. And I want you to put down as well things that you worry about in the future. Go ahead and take the time now to write that down.
Hold that paper. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I am not the source. I focus my life on Lord,
before me
are my problems.
Past, present, and future.
Lord, I cannot control any of them. Lord, I cast my cares upon you today. And Lord, I once and for all, let go of these problems. And give them to you. Now take that paper, crumple it up. Okay, Lorenzo. Now, this is what those problems are like. Trash. So throw them in the trash. Amen?
Amen.
Throw them in the trash. There you go. Get rid of them. Now you're getting rid of your trash today, which is your problems, and you're letting it go. This is a new day. This is a new time and a new mind of Christ for you. You have to declare in your heart today, I let go. Once and for all, I let go. Yes, problems will come again, and we'll go through this process again, but today, in this moment, it's a new day for me, a new relationship, a new focus in Christ. Jesus, I want you. I want to abandon. I want to have a relationship with you, free of all the cares of this world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks.
Trash, going out the door, worthless, trash. Lord,
not the source. You're ever before us. We let go. Let's try this abandoning now, together. Just take a deep breath. Remember that your help comes from the Lord. He created you. Life came from His breath. No one like Jesus. He is the only Son of God, the portal to the answers of life. Lord, we choose to empty ourselves in this moment, to let go of everything. Yes, Lord, even our own identity, we just let it go. We just exist in that space between the world and your love. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, reverently. Speaking in tongues is not great preaching or teaching. The seven gifts are intimate. They're not a measure of public spectacle. Right now, God is speaking into some of your lives these precious gifts. Thank you.
He's giving wisdom and knowledge and understanding, a fear of Him and a reverence, a respect for His holiness, discernment, right judgment. Don't be worried, for it pleases Him to give you the things of the kingdom, He says. Yourself up to the public spectacle of His wonderment. That's the manifestation of His Spirit. That's the job of His Spirit. The job of you today is to abandon, to be filled with the spirits that come from the throne room of God. There's a peace that comes with these gifts. There's a confidence that comes. There's a resolution to stand for righteousness that comes. There's a strength that comes. There's a grace in the spirits that pervades the soul and unites it with God. Spirits from the throne room of God, we abandon ourselves today. We prostrate ourselves before Thee. You are the source. Feed us. Hold us. Shape us. Right now, the Lord is releasing someone here from old bondages. He's doing that work right now. You're not going to return to some of the problems that you came here with. There's somebody in here right now that's worried about a mother. God is giving you the grace right now to let go and know that He is bringing that problem to a resolution in His timing. Abandon yourself. He says, abandon yourself. Let go. You can't control it anyways, but abandon yourself so that the spirits that I would minister to you with will minister to her. Someone in here is worried about school. Specifically, their place in school. God is saying, abandon yourself from your cares. Abandon yourself from your worries. I will minister to your mind knowledge. I will minister to your mind what can't be taught in textbooks. I will minister to your soul lessons that cannot be learned by other men, but only My Spirit. Abandon yourself. Think about those times when you were a child and you carried the burden of guilt and you'd run up to mom or dad or whoever you carried it for and you finally said, I'm sorry I did this, and you blabbed it all out, in the release that you felt when you let go. That's the gift of forgiveness. Right now, God's Spirit is there so that you can release unto Him all that binds you.
Thank you.
things that he wants to teach you, that I have neither the knowledge or the ability to utter. And he's teaching that right now. Process now in your life of abandoning yourself for the Lord. He wants you to learn his language. But you're not going to learn his language if you don't take time to talk to him. It's not about today. At this point, it's now about tomorrow. It's about what are you going to do as you leave here? Are you going to walk this way now? Are you going to abandon yourself for the Lord? Be excited today in your heart. Not because you're jumping up and down shouting, because there's an opportunity now to have a new relationship, a new conversation. Now is the time God is going to start that conversation with you. Remember, you're not the source. Focus on Christ. Let go of your problems. And wait in between for the gifts of His Spirit.
Thank you.
sweeter name than the name of Jesus.
No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I am.
He handpicked you today. He selected you to be here today. He has a work to do in your life.
Thank you.
spirit of right judgment, follow your
assurance.
Now open your eyes. There is a light in this room today. See with the eyes of the Spirit today. There is a lightness. There's a freedom. There's a liberty. God has blessed us today. God has blessed us today because He is blessing and He is amongst us. Feel yourself coming out of the shackles of your problems today. There's a communion today. There's a communion with the Lord today. Oh, it's wonderful, and it's in this room. Honor you today, Lord. Oh, it's in this room today. I honor you and thank you, Lord. Open your eyes wide. See the sun and the light of God. It's here, and He is wonderful. And He is worthy to be praised and honored and magnified. Blessed and praised and honored and magnified. And praised and honored and magnified. Yes.
One thing that we desire.
your sister. Give a big, big, heavy hug.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Worship. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. It feels good to be abandoned, doesn't it? Be abandoned more often. Please. This world needs it. I need it. The people you worship with need it. Abandon yourself for Christ because it feels good. And here is the last thing I want to leave with you today. I struggled all week about this seminar. I didn't know what God wanted me to preach. I had stuff prepared. I had notes. But I knew God wanted something. And it wasn't just about me sitting up here and putting some nice little thing together. But he wanted something. You know, I went into the chapel a couple days ago. I sat before the Lord. And I just got into a prostrated position. I ended up like in that picture. And all these things were coming in my mind. And I just knew I had to get rid of it all. And I just started going through that process. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, one word, when I was almost falling asleep, the Lord spoke to me. Abandon. That's how this all started. I never looked at it like that before. I never used that word before. That's not a part of my vocabulary. But God in that moment spoke that word to me. How many of us that happened to in this room? I know that's happened to other people before. Well, you know he just says something to you that makes all the difference in the world. But we can't get it unless we abandon. So please, teach others to abandon. Teach others the value of letting it go and letting God speak to us. We need God to speak to us. Amen? We need it for our children, our church, everything. We need God to speak to us. God is love, friends, and it's simple. Abandon yourself to his love. Amen?
Amen.
Now, dinner and great communion tonight. So after you come down to the high of being with the Lord, get ready for the distractions. It's like we're walking out of here on cloud nine to go over to a communion. But you know, that's the way it is. We can't live in this state all the time, and he doesn't expect that we do. Okay? Otherwise, people are really looking at us like we're kooky. But we ask you to go over and support us today. And I just feel such a resolution. I hope you do too. I hope you leave here today feeling different than what you came. And the lesson that God taught you that I don't even know what he taught you today. He's got something special and individual for each one of you that he taught you today. And I thank him for it. So let's just forgive God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Amen. Okay, we can have Mass now, or what's on the agenda? Okay. All right, we'll just praise the Lord. We'll let the priest prepare to have Mass. God bless you. Love you. Remember, abandon yourself. What are we going to do? We're going to abandon ourselves. What are we going to do? Amen.